Well, I'd love it if you opened your Bible to Deuteronomy, book number 5, Deuteronomy, and we're going to open to chapter 6. In just a moment, we're going to read the fifth commandment as we continue our sermon series in the 10 Laws of Love. But before we do, we're going to read from Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 to 9. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Well, turn with me now, if you would, to Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to read the fifth commandment. So that's Exodus 20, and that's verse 12. You might know it. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Let's pray again, and then we'll get into it. God, thank you for these 10 commandments, these 10 laws of love. As we look at the fifth commandment about honoring our parents now, we ask that you would enlighten us and excite us. We pray that it would be practical. We pray that it would be honoring to you. Please help us now through the power of your Spirit, we pray. Amen. Well, when I started looking at the fifth commandment this week, I have to be honest, it seemed pretty simple. It's not rocket science. Honor your father and mother. I wondered for a while whether this commandment was really that much of a big deal. I mean, compare it with the one that comes after. You shall not murder. Or you shall not commit adultery. But then I started thinking, well, then why does this commandment come before those ones? And as I've studied it, I've come to realize, and I hope you'll come to see, this commandment is so important and so foundational to everything. You know, the parent-child relationship is really unique. Every single person in this room has a parent or has had parents. It is the most foundational human relationship, true across all societies for all time. And it takes place in the most foundational place, the home. The home is where we first learn to live in relationship with other people. Psychologists agree. What happens in the home has an incredible impact on kids later in life. Upbringing matters. The Bible agrees with that. But it also says so much more. The Bible says that relationship between a child and their parents not only has a profound impact on how they go on to relate with other people and society, but ultimately on their relationship with God himself. So that's what we're going to look at this evening. And as we do, I hope you'll see with me that the fifth commandment is really important and also really beautiful. We've got 3 points tonight. First, we're going to ask, why is it so hard to honor parents? Then we're going to ask, why is it so important to honor parents? And then thirdly, we're going to get practical. We're going to finish with some practical ideas of how we can put it into practice. Okay, first, why is it so hard to honor parents? When I became a parent, there was this one book that was recommended to me as the best book on parenting. It's by Paul Tripp. It's called Parenting. And I'm going to shamelessly steal content from it throughout this sermon. You can go back and read it and try and find out what I stole. Paul Tripp, he talks about this time when a mother came up to him and she was in despair. She was in tears. And she said, "When you teach about parenting, it seems so easy. It's not." She said, "I have a 4-year-old son who I can't control. Nothing I do or say makes him listen to me. And if I raise my voice and say no, he just chucks a tantrum and nothing will change until I give him what he wants. Rather than me parenting him, I feel like he's controlling me and I'm exhausted and I don't know what to do." And doesn't your heart go out to this poor mum? No matter how good or bad her parenting strategies are, I mean, her son is only 4 years old, and he already knows exactly how to get what he wants. 4 years old, and he knows, is convinced that authority is a bad thing, and he has to fight it at every point. And if you have been a parent yourself, you'll know you don't have to teach that to a kid. You don't have to teach a kid that they should want to do things their way. That's a freebie. It comes pre-installed. It's normal, but when you stop to think about it, it's pretty shocking. I think about what a parent does. Think about what they sacrifice. It starts with a very painful entrance into the world, and then 24 hours a day, there's the constant attending to needs, and you shower them with love and concern, and yet the default response of your child is not thank you, but more. I want. And if we say, you know, it's just a pretty innocent thing, then I'm not sure we're being honest. The selfishness of a young child, isn't that one of the clearest proofs that there's something wrong with our world? And that humans maybe are not inherently good and lovely. I can tell you from personal experience, we don't grow out of this. When I look at my life, it's very clear I still have this inbuilt dislike of authority. I find myself criticizing the government far more often than I praise it. And it doesn't really matter if it's a boss or a teacher or an employer or a parent or a church pastor. If anyone in authority over me makes a mistake, I immediately want to stand on my rights and I want to complain. And I want to say that I've been mistreated. I don't think it's just in my life. I think we see this all around us in the world. Our culture is more and more opposed to authority, isn't it? More and more obsessed with freedom. Freedom from tradition. Freedom from authority. Freedom from family. Freedom from absolutely anything that might hold you back from being who you want to be. And in some ways, that's a new thing. We are seeing new attacks on the traditional family unit. We're seeing new opinions on gender. We're seeing new approaches to discipline and parenting. But then you dig a little deeper, and it's all suspiciously familiar. It sounds eerily like Genesis 3, back at the start of the Bible, when the first humans, Adam and Eve, turned their backs on their heavenly father. Why? Because they wanted freedom. A form of freedom that had nothing to do with God. His rules are so restrictive. Have we heard ourselves think like this? I'd be so much happier if I did it my way. If I was God, I think I'd do it differently. So our question, Why is it so hard for kids to honor their parents, respect them, obey them? Because all of us have a natural desire to rebel against authority, which is really the heart of what sin is. Which means that in the fifth commandment, there is something much bigger at stake here than just kids, honor your parents. It strikes at the heart of the human condition, the way we relate to authority. The authority of parents and bosses and politicians, yes, but ultimately the authority of God. You know, when your two-year-old daughter refuses to eat her peas, the battle that you're having with her isn't really about diet. She's not saying, well, Dad, I've studied my dietary needs and the nutritional value of peas, and I've decided it's not going to be necessary for me to eat them at this time. No, you're having a battle about authority, really. Who's in control? Who decides what they eat? So the fifth commandment is not just about behavior. It's about the heart. It's so important that we see that. Because if we don't, we're going to misapply this commandment. You know, you will look around you and you will start to see in society tragically broken families. You'll see it in the church too. And we need to recognize that the root of the problem goes deep. We shouldn't just long for the good old days back when, you know, kids were raised right. Our goal as Christians is never just a good moral society or just well-behaved, nice kids. In Romans 1 verse 30, Paul includes children disobeying their parents in this long list of sins. But his point is not be more moral. His point is that all of those sins are symptoms of a bigger problem, that we have all rejected our loving Heavenly Father. So the first question we're asking tonight is, why is it so hard to honor our parents? Simply put, because we don't want to. All of us have this sinful, rebellious desire and it runs through our lives. Where does that leave us? Well, the world, I saw this on social media the other day, and apparently psychologists are now recommending this too. Quote, cut negative people out of your life. Walk away from anything, even your family, if they no longer serve you, grow you, or make you happy. We want to say, yes, freedom is important. Stand up against slavery and corrupt governments and domestic violence, definitely. But we also need to think, is all authority bad? If we had absolute freedom to do whatever we wanted, would that make us happy? Is that what we need? And that brings us to our second point. Why does God say here, honor your father and mother? Why is it so important to do this? Think back to that four-year-old boy who has run his mother ragged. Think about the two-year-old girl who won't eat her peas. Like all of us, those children were born blind. Not physically blind, spiritually blind. From the youngest age, they look at the world and they do not see God. It's kind of like a kid who's been born into this small room with no windows. And their whole life, they never leave that room. And they grow up utterly oblivious to the fact that there's a whole world outside full of beautiful trees and people and cities. You and I are born blind. We are born thinking that we're at the center of the universe, that authority is bad. Those things are actually lies. What does every child, what does every person need more than anything else? They need to know that God exists and that He's the most important thing in the world and that living under His authority is the best way to live. It's the most important thing you could ever know. And so, it needs to be learned from the youngest age. How? Through the most foundational, influential relationship known to humanity. As children learn against their natural instinct that they should honor their parents, they learn to submit to authority. Not just the authority of their parents, but one day their teachers, their employers, Ephesians 6, the government, Romans 13, church leaders, 1 Peter 5. But it's bigger than that too, because the goal, remember, is not just well-behaved, nice, moral kids. The goal is that they will come to respect the greatest and most wonderful authority in the whole world, their Heavenly Father. And they learn that submitting is good. It brings joy. It brings blessing. Look at the promise attached to the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. God's people, Israel, they are about to enter the promised land. They didn't have to earn it. God is giving it to them. And he says, I want you to enjoy this gift to the max. I want you and your children and your grandchildren to flourish and to thrive. How will that happen? It will happen when you stay close to the giver. It will happen as generation after generation is raised up to know God and his wonderful salvation and his good rules. That's what we read just before in Deuteronomy 6, isn't it? God says, I want you to have long life. How? Verse 2, by fearing the Lord and keeping his commandments. And then it says, notice this heart language, love the Lord your God with all your heart. He's so good. He's so faithful. He has saved you from Egypt. Love him. How could you not? And teach your kids to love him. Verse 7, impress these commandments on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. It's about saying to our kids, hey kids, look at what God has given us. We've been given a loving relationship with God. We can call him Father, Dad. Even though we're sinners who were born hating him and denying his existence. In spite of that, he loves us. He loves us so much he sent his son, his perfect son, Jesus, the heavenly son who came in our place. And what did he do? He did what we couldn't do. He obeyed his parents perfectly. Luke chapter 2, verse 51 says, Jesus was obedient to his earthly parents, even though they were sinners and he wasn't. Can you imagine that dynamic? And he also perfectly obeyed his heavenly Father, John 4. Jesus even became obedient to death on a cross, Philippians 2. Through his obedience, his sacrifice, you and I can be forgiven and adopted. We're God's children. We have a relationship with him, and he transforms our hearts so that instead of being hateful, we're thankful. That's what we've been given. And now God says, honor me by staying close to me, following me. Follow my loving authority, my wise rules. This commandment does not promise that if you obey your parents, you will live till 80 or 90 years old. No, it's promising that when parents honor God and children honor their parents, then we see homes that are transformed by grace, and we see the gospel being passed down from generation to generation. So let's recap. By nature, we're all sinners born wanting to live our own way instead of honoring God and our parents. But we've also seen that by honoring our parents, children can learn to appreciate authority and submit to it, most of all, the perfect authority of God. So true freedom isn't found in doing whatever we want. It's found in staying close to our wise and loving Father in heaven. Okay, as we wrap up, let's get practical for a minute. I'm going to talk to young kids, big kids, and parents. Okay, first of all, young kids. Your parents might have brought you along tonight for a reason, who knows? You need to honor your parents because God gave them to you. They're a gift from God. And your parents love you. And they want to teach you all about life and God. So how can you honor them? I'm going to suggest there are four words that you can say. Four words. First, you can say yes. When they ask you to do something, you listen, then you say yes, and then you do it. And God loves it when we obey quickly and cheerfully. You can say yes. You can also say thanks. Thank your mum and dad for everything they do for you. They're not being mean. They're working hard to care for you. Third, you can say sorry. Ask for forgiveness when you do the wrong thing. And fourth, you can say hello, which is really just a way of being polite, being friendly, talking to your parents. So what are the four words? Yes, thanks, sorry, and hello. Okay, what about big kids? And I'm looking at all the rest of you. Teenagers, adult children. Honoring our parents looks different when we grow up. When we're young, it means obedience. But as we grow up, it's more about respect. And as our parents grow old, it's also about care. Three stages: obedience, respect, care. So as adults, how can we honor our parents? Some ideas from Scripture. First, by listening. Proverbs 23, verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. We may not agree with everything they say. You may choose not to obey them, but we at least listen respectfully. And they might end up being a little wiser than we care to admit. Second, through gratitude. Whatever your differences, try to recognize what they've done for you. Have you thanked them? Expressed your love for them? So listening, gratitude. Third, time and care. Time and care. As parents get older, the tables turn, and the ones who once did the caring need to be cared for. 1 Timothy 5 says, if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. And that type of care, it is likely to involve sacrificial time, practical care. It'll probably affect our finances. It might even affect where we end up living. So, listening, gratitude, care, and lastly, forgiveness. For some of us, it might be the hardest of all. You say, if you knew my parents, you would know that this commandment doesn't apply to me. It's true, I don't know what you've been through. But your sovereign, loving Heavenly Father does. In His perfect wisdom, God gave you your parents in particular. We don't ultimately honor our parents because of their competency. We honor them because of their calling. Isn't it true that at the heart of the Christian life, we're called to forgive those who sin against us and to show mercy to the unworthy? That is the path to healing and to reconciliation and to being freed from bitterness. But it's not going to be possible until our hearts have been softened. Softened by Jesus. Perfect Jesus who honored his sinful parents. Perfect Jesus who didn't stand on his rights but let himself be wronged so that we could be forgiven. Okay, lastly, parents. It's interesting, this commandment doesn't just apply to kids, it's also got a lot to say to parents. Paul quotes it in Ephesians 6, and he adds, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." We touched on this before, but parents, we are shaping hearts, not just controlling behaviors. And so we don't just give rules, we give reasons for the rules. We don't just give discipline, but we give grace as well. And we will fail many times. We aren't God. We aren't perfect. We can't change hearts. But God can. Ultimately, it is God who cares for our children, who has the power to heal hearts, to transform lives. God is so powerful, he can even use our failures for good. We need to admit our failings to our kids. Because in our sin, we actually have a chance to point to God's grace. Grace that we need just as much as they do. And even if you don't have children, if you're here and you're part of Riverbank Church, as God's people, our aim is to point our children to God. To take these precious rebels and help them see their Heavenly Father. The one who rules the world with authority that is not harsh or cruel, but that is full of wisdom and love. Let's pray together. Lord, many of us as we read this commandment feel that it is hard to honor our parents. Parents who are sinful. And parents who have authority over us, which is something we resent. Something that we want to fight against. Lord, we confess that our hearts are often rebellious and stubborn and selfish, and so often we want to live our own way instead of submitting to the government or to our employer or to our pastors and elders, to our parents. Please forgive us and humble us and give us new hearts that are gentle and thankful and humble. Hearts that submit to authority and to the people who you have put in authority over us. We pray for ourselves and we pray for the world around us that more and more we would come to see that your authority, Lord, is beautiful. Something we desperately need and so good for us. We thank you for your perfect rules. We thank you for your gentle, loving discipline, even when it hurts. We thank you that in all things you work for our good as those who are in Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen.